Right. Proverbs chapter 3 this evening. Proverbs chapter 3. We'll look at two verses. And I heard of someone that started, a preacher that started Proverbs, and it took him 10 years to preach through it. I don't know. Sometimes if these books go a little long, you just sort of break off and do something else, because it just, you know, hey, it's all the Bible. So Proverbs chapter 3, there's several Proverbs in the Bible, and several Proverbs that are, they're thoughtful. They require some thought. Some things in the Bible are really simple. I think it was Benjamin Franklin. I don't know, one of those guys, Franklin or Jefferson. He said, it's not the things that I don't understand in the Bible that concern me. It's the things that I do understand. And so you get a lot of times fascinated with things you don't understand. But there's some simple stuff in the Bible. Bible's meant to be understood. It's meant to be read. But there are some things that require some thought. And I will say that if you're not accustomed to reading your Bible, reading your Bible will make what we do on Sundays and Wednesdays more interesting, because you'll kind of understand what you're looking at. And it's really boring if you don't understand what you're looking at. And so that said, we'll look at a couple of verses here. And there is a paradox, seems like a paradox. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3, says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." Mercy and truth, that's those companions show up all throughout the Bible. And they seem to be, I don't know, when I read it, they seem to be at odds. And I say it this way, I guess, that you think of like justice and mercy. Those two things seem to be sometimes contradictory. Like, do you administer, you know, the harsh reality of truth? Is that what needs to be applied here? Or do you show benevolence and a tenderness and sort of sort of wink at what should be done and apply mercy? And so I read this verse, and I read other verses where they show up, and it's mercy and truth, mercy and truth, mercy and truth. And when I think about it, it sort of sounds like a, maybe not contradictory terms, but in some ways, maybe it is, it sounds like contradictory terms. And it's, you know, there's a name for this. If you ever had some college classes, you probably had some ethics classes, and ethics is where the crossroads meet of what's right and what's right. Like, what do you do here? This could be right, and this could also be right. And that's what it is. That's what you're kind of dealing with in Proverbs here with mercy and truth. It's do you apply mercy, or is this a case where you have to conform to the fact and the reality and just the solid wall of truth that is real? And so I don't know if you ever had some college classes, some ethics classes. You apply it to, there's government regulation and medical ethics and charitable ethics and things like that. And they deal with the crossroads where essentially you come to these crossroads, and there's a moral principle that has to be applied that tells you which way is the right way. And I say all that to say also, when the Lord presents mercy and truth, he doesn't necessarily present them, though, as contradictions or even crossroads. He presents them as companions. Like, these two walk together, and you need to hang on to both of them. And you need to be able to equitably apply both of them, because they were both applied to you. I'll give you an example. So here's truth on the cross, or here it is. Here's mercy on the cross, where Jesus Christ is on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's mercy. Here's truth. It is finished. Sin, God's punishment for sin, is a harsh reality that had to be meted out. So on the cross, you have two companions, mercy and truth, and they meet together in Jesus Christ, and particularly that act of sacrifice. So I say that also because that's our proverb. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. This is Solomon talking to his son. This is also Jesus Christ instructing in righteousness. And so in a king's kingdom, and in God's kingdom, a judge, a king, is expected to make these kinds of difficult decisions on a regular basis, where this thing is right and this thing is also right, so which right do I choose? What's the most right thing to do? Mercy and truth, the Bible says, it later say, mercy and truth preserve the king. So I just want to present, first of all, the little possibly dilemma in these two ideas and these two principles and these two demeanors that you might take. But the Lord puts them together, and he says, not only are they together, but you're not to let them go. Don't let mercy and truth forsake thee. And we'll deal with that in just a second. I want to deal with these, just the truths as they show up here. But let's pray, and we'll talk about these couple verses here. Father, thank you so much for these words. I pray that you'd guide us through this study. You'd help folks that have come tonight, that you'd feed your flock, that you would nourish the sheep, that you'd help us get what we need out of these verses. And thank you for these words. Thank you for each soul that's here this evening. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. That all said, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Interesting at the end there. We'll talk about that. God and man. Seem like God and man are sometimes looking for the same thing. And that's a peculiar thought, or could be. But anyhow, first part of these verses, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. There is a natural tendency to lose both of these companions. And when applying this spirit or this disposition, maybe to others, it appears in these verses these things are fleeting. Like he says, if you say don't let these things go, that means there's a tendency that these things are going to go. If you don't hang on to these two things, they're not going to be around. Their natural proclivity is not to stick around with you. And it's not that they're evil, it's not that mercy and truth are bad, it's just that there's so much opposition in the world to truth, and there's so much opposition to mercy, that if you don't hang on to them, they won't last. Not in your life. They won't be there when you need to apply them, or when you need them. So let them not forsake thee. I'll give you a couple of examples. Like we said, mercy and truth are companions, although they don't often seem like it. Personal testimony. I'll give you a little personal testimony. When I first started learning the Bible, the truth was very important. Like I felt like I am learning truth, and I am learning stuff. I've never seen this stuff before, and it is making so much sense. And it was like the lights were just turning on. That was truth. But I had a hard time applying mercy when I was looking at other people about these same truths. It's like I learned something last week, and then all of a sudden my attitude was, why don't you know this? Well, I didn't even know this till last week. I mean, just an example. And then all of a sudden it's like, why don't let me start an argument so we can fight about this truth. So what I'm saying is that these two things, they sometimes seem like they're not companions, but they really are. I hope you understand at the end of this. But some people pick up truth or what they think is truth and become merciless when they apply it to other people. I don't know. Maybe you've done this. I know I've done this. But it's like I said, you learn something that you've never seen before. And all of a sudden, everybody in the world is supposed to know the same thing you know. And they're stupid if they don't know it. And it's like, hey, dummy, you just found this out yesterday. You've lived all this time not knowing this. So not everyone else in the world is stupid because they didn't get on board. So there's truth, and then there's mercy. I'll show you how they're perfectly applied in the New Testament. I'll show you how. And they're applied in the Old Testament too. And it may not even be a Bible truth. It may just be you've probably watched... Well, kids go off to college, and last year you see riots and just nonsense, crazy stuff going on in cities across the country, and a lot of these people were just like college kids. I know some of them are just out for the free TV, you know. Nobody, the cops aren't going to get us. We're going to go tear down a store or get the TVs out. But some of these guys were idealistic. Like they got a hold of some environmental truth or what they thought was a truth, and they got a hold of this thing and they became belligerent with it. Like we know this thing, and why aren't you conforming to our way? It's like, what? Wait a minute, man. Wait a minute. What you're saying may not even be true. But you've become this. Put it this way. I've started to observe the spirit and things. I mean, just, I don't know. I'm trying less and less, and I read in the Bible less and less about how doctrine and behavior are oftentimes separated, but they're not. And it's like, you know, we have great doctrine, but we hate people. And I think, then you don't have great doctrine. What you have is some bad spirit. You know, you don't have a great doctrine. If what you believe leads you to hating other people, you don't have, that's not true. That's not right. So the Bible puts these two, mercy and truth, as companions, but the world, us, even our flesh, and we separate these things I don't know. We just get deceived sometimes about our own understandings and knowledge. Here's one where they weren't necessarily deceived, but remember James and John and the sons of thunder? And there's this guy preaching, and he's not with them, and he's not part of their group. And they say, Lord, should we call down fire on this guy? And the Lord's like, you don't even know what spirit you're of. If he's not against me, he's for me. Boy, we've leveled that idea. We have divided out and cross-divided and made distinctions that God didn't even know about. I'm not going to fellowship with this guy because he believes this or he thought this one time. We can agree on 99 things, and there's one thing. Well, I can't be around that guy. I mean, we have taken these things as it just brings me back to this verse when Solomon says, look, mercy and truth, they go together. They go together. If in your mind you can't show mercy to other people, you're not dealing with the truth here. Although it may seem like it, it may feel like it. Here's another thought along those lines. And this happens, I think it happens for everybody. If you're called to preach, called to teach, I think it happens for everybody. You start out, and you want to shock the people. Because you've learned so much. And now you want to just, I mean, you just want to show people truths that they've never even heard of before. And so you just want to shock people with these crazy thoughts. But there's no thought of edify. How do I help people? You know, it's a real, I won't say it's an art, but it's a real discipline to take the truth, to take information, to take the knowledge of God, and then edify people. Don't use it to shock people. Don't use it to scare people. You use it to edify people. I think it's the tendency of anybody when they're starting out. It's kind of like, you know, as you grow up, you start out as a baby, you become a toddler, then you get a little bit older and teenager and stuff like that. It's kind of like the toddler stage or something. It's just like you just want to shock people with information. Well, that's not really a help to people. Mercy and truth, those things go together. It's not spiritual to beat people over the head with things you just learned 2 days ago. That's not spiritual. It's not, on the other hand, I mean, it may not even be a Bible thing. On the other hand, it's also not spiritual to disregard the truth and just want to show mercy. That's equally unspiritual. Well, we can't tell them anything because, I mean, usually that has to do with your own reputation. I don't want them to think I'm mean. So I'm not going to tell them the truth about it, something. I don't want them to think that I'm mean. So it works both ways. I mean, there's balance in all of this. And when there's balance, that's the right combination. Mercy and truth. Not just mercy. Not just, hey, we're just going to overlook everything you've ever done. We're just going to overlook this. Even if it's hurting the entire congregation, we're just going to, you know what, we're just going to overlook all this. Even if it's hurting our family, hey, it's okay. We just don't want you to feel ostracized. What you're saying is, I don't want you to think I'm mean. That's what that means. So, you know, you can err, what I say, there's ditches on both sides of the road. You can get so full of yourself that you've learned things that you have no mercy on people. And then you can also get so full of yourself and just show mercy indiscriminately. No truth. No reality. Just, hey, you guys just think what you want. Just do what you want to. It doesn't matter if it's hurting your family, hurting your kids, hurting other people's kids. I mean, just do what you want to. So he says over and over, these two show up together. And the Bible is so balanced. It's so perfect. Mercy and truth. Mercy and truth. It's like there's a lot of these balancing acts you've got to make. You know, when you make decisions, things like long-term, short-term decisions. So, I mean, some things, it's long-term and short-term. I got to make short-term decisions, but I also got to think long-term. That's sort of a balance. I got to think sometimes as a congregation, you think individual and you also think congregational. Well, where do you go with that? It's all in the Bible. It's balancing things. He says, let them not forsake thee. What's the point in all that? The point is there is a tendency for these two to just walk on by And if you don't capture both of them and hang on to them, they're not going to stick around. It's almost like when Jesus was walking on the water and that storm's going on, and the disciples, they're just like rowing. I mean, they're trying to stabilize the boat, and they see him. He's just walking, and he's just going to walk by if they don't say something. That's mercy and truth. It's like, look, if you don't hang on to them, they're very fleeting. And the world, in this world, it's very difficult. Not just in this world, but in your own body, in your flesh. It's very difficult to hang on to these things. You got to make it a point to do it. What does he say next? Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So it's... one is open for all to see. If you bind it on your neck, I mean, it's like a necklace. You, it's open, it's displayed. So people need to see the mercy and the truth. And also write it on the tables of your heart. That reminds me of, remember when Moses, he gets the tables, the two tables with the law. Well, Paul talks about that, about the tables of stone versus the tables of the heart. Write it on the tables of your heart. That's a spiritual thing. Make mercy and truth constant reminders of how the Lord has... I mean, the Lord treated you with mercy and truth. That's how he treats you. Mercy and truth. It's. I mean, it's. You've heard it said, and you understand this. It's just true. But people really don't... And they don't. They don't care how much you know or what you know unless they know that you care for them. Unless what you're doing is in their interest. If you're just preaching at them, people don't care about that. But if they understand that you love them and this is in their interest, they're more willing to listen. I mean, you understand that. Here's what Paul says. He says it in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. He says, speaking the truth in love. That's truth in love. If you're trying to tell the truth to shock people, you've missed the point. If you're trying to show mercy so someone doesn't think you're mean, you've missed the point. It's truth and mercy, both. They're companions. They go together. But they won't stick around if you don't hold on to them. If you don't put them somewhere, you don't write them on your heart, if you don't put them somewhere where you think about them. Because applying mercy and truth is it's not a passive thing. It doesn't just happen. It's something you have to rule your spirit with. You have to make it an on purpose thing. You have to do it on purpose. Here's another look in Galatians chapter 6. Here's another little application of this. Mercy and truth. They go together. They may not seem like it, but they do. They go together. And in fact, the Bible says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And so it takes both of them. They qualify each other. Not just by mercy is iniquity purged, but by mercy and truth is iniquity purged. Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. That's mercy and truth. I'm going to deal with them in truth and deal with them in a way that I would want to be dealt with. If I was caught in something and you knew about it and you said, you know what, I need to bring that to his attention, you would deal with it the way you would want to be dealt with. That's what Paul says. Look, if someone's caught in a fault, if you're spiritual, restore him, but do it in a spirit of meekness, where you're considering your own self. and you don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, because that's sort of the tendency. You're doing wrong, I know it, I'm going to show you how to do it right. Or I'm going to tell you why you're doing it wrong. That's not spirit of meekness. And now you're snared in pride because you just think you're better than the person you're talking to. Mercy and truth. Mercy and truth. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. That's Proverbs 16:16. These things go together. In the person of Christ, it's so clear. So clear. These two seemingly opposing dispositions, mercy and truth, meet in Jesus Christ. I talked about his death on the cross, his substitution. That's the harsh reality of God's judgment. At the same time, the loving mercy of God. All right there wrapped up in one. And not just the cross. The cross was the ultimate. I mean, that's the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, but his whole life, mercy and truth. Mercy and truth. Now let's finish up here. We'll go back to Proverbs and look at the benefits of this thing, although we've covered a few. In Proverbs 3, the last verse there, verse 4, he says, "So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." You hold on to them. You keep them. You find, what does he say? Find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. It's always, I don't know, interesting in the Bible when God and man are looking for the same things. They want to be treated a certain way, treated with dignity and treated with some respect and some love and some care. So why bother keeping mercy and truth? And here's one of the answers right here. You get favor with God and man. Like I said earlier, people want to be cared for. They want to know that whether their opinions are bad or good, they want to know that somebody's listening to them. This is our society. I mean, this is culture now. It's like everybody's just yelling at each other. We're just all talking over each other. I'm just talking at you. I'm just, you need to get saved, you need to get saved, you need to get saved. And they're just like, well, I don't get saved. I don't want to do it. I don't believe in your God. I don't believe in your God. But nobody's listening. Nobody cares about the other person's opinion or thoughts. We're just yelling at each other. And then when you sit down and you want to listen, I mean, listening takes discipline. Where you're not the one going to be talking. You need to pay attention. If you will listen to people, if you'll listen to people, when you're preaching, I mean, when you're sharing the gospel, this is why if you need a program to go by the Romans Road or something like that, that's a good start. That's something. But if you're not listening to the person, if it's just as soon as their mouth stops, I'm going to give them another verse. I'm just going to, as soon as their mouth stops, oh, wait, right there. I got to tell them this. They're listening as much as you're listening. They care about as much as you care about what they're saying. People want to be, they want to have some dignity about it. I mean, you say we're all sinners and we're all dirtbags and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, okay, I got it. But if you're not going to show them a little bit of respect, mercy, truth, mercy, truth, mercy, truth, those things go together. Then what do you get? Favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Yeah, it's not going to be a perfect. You're not going to bat 1,000 with that. It's not going to happen with that. Everybody. Some people are just contentious. They just want to fight, and that's just what they want to do. But you don't want to be the reason that happens. The Lord says in Matthew, he says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." You say, well, that's you know, Old Testament or salvation, Old Testament or something. That's not Old Testament salvation. That's a proverb is what that is. That's mercifulness, showing mercy to someone, and then they recognize, you know what, this person was good to me. maybe I ought to be a little bit good to them. I was talking to a friend, it was this week, and he's dealing with some music issue at his church, and he got this nasty response about some decision he made. He got some sort of a, I won't go into all the details, but it was one of those responses where you just sort of cringe and you're just like, oh, I just want to say something back. And so he didn't. And instead, he said, well, I appreciate you bringing that to my attention and all that. And it was nice about it. And you know what happened 2 days later? He got a text. Hey, man, I kind of thought about what I said. And, I'll rethink what I'm doing and all that. And that was what he said. He said, I'm just going to wait it out. I'm just going to see what happens. It doesn't cost you anything to be merciful, to show some kindness. But you know what he recognized? The guy recognized, you know what? This guy didn't fight back. Because when you fight, the other person just gets on the defensive. Because when they fight, you get on the defensive. It's just people dynamics. Blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. Sermon on the Mount, that's full of proverbs. Here's another one in Proverbs. I'll just read it to you. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul. That's Proverbs 11:17. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. Mercy, truth. This is applied. People appreciate that. They appreciate that. And you know who else appreciates that? God appreciates it. You know why God appreciates? Because that's how he's treated you. It goes back to that parable that Jesus Christ said. He said, here's somebody who's good to this man, and this man turns around and beats his servants. Here's someone who's had all this debt forgiven him, and he turns around for this little debt, and he just beats this guy. Of course the Lord's going to say, what are you doing? What are you thinking? Mercy and truth, they go together. They really do. I'll show you how the Lord applies it. Look in 2 Timothy, his last verse. It really is the last verse. 2 Timothy, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 15. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding with God and man. Watch what Paul says about this fella and how he wants the Lord to respond, and probably how the Lord will respond. 2 Timothy 1:15. Says, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom Phygellus and Hermogenes, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and he was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. You know what Paul's praying on behalf of Onesiphorus and his household? He said, that man showed me mercy in my darkest time. And I am going to go to the Lord on his behalf and pray that the Lord would show him mercy. Not about salvation necessarily, just about showing him mercy, being good to his family, being good to him. Mercy, mercy, truth. These things go together. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. The benefits of both. You know, people don't want to be, well, I say they don't. I mean, there's some things they want to be lied to about. But if they think you're being dishonest with them, people don't want to be lied to their face. They don't have any respect for that. mercy and truth. Tell them the truth. Show them kindness. You want the same done on your behalf. That's what you want. You don't want people lying to your face and then all of a sudden blindsiding you with something that, oh, where did this come from? You want dealing with truth, and the way it's meted out is mercifully. It's like Paul said in Galatians. Look, if you find a brother in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Deal with it in truth, but deal with it kindly, gently, considering yourself. So you get these, sometimes these things that, I don't know, they seem at odds. Mercy, truth, the harsh reality of truth, and you know, just the bedrock. It's immovable. It's not. It doesn't yield. It's just the truth, the hard truth. And then mercy. It's bendable. It's benevolent. It's mild. It's, which one do I pick? Which one do I pick? It's both. They both work together. It's the Holy Spirit of God. That's the nature of the Holy Spirit of God. Merciful, truthful. It's the nature of Jesus Christ. So these things meet together, and they're not at odds. They're companions. And Solomon says you need to hold them close. You need to hold them close. People will respect you if you hold them close. And if I can say it this way, God will have more respect for you if you hold them close. If you deal with people the same way He's dealt with you, He'll consider that. Just like Paul was praying. This man showed me mercy in my darkest time. Lord, please consider him. Please help him. Help him. Help him when he needs help. Mercy and truth. Mercy and truth. Companions, don't let them go. Keep them. They're fleeting. The world is at odds with these things. It's the culture it's so contradictory. The culture is at odds with these things, yet individuals want to be treated this way. They want to be treated this way. And you want to be treated this way. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. You learn something new? Hey, you just learned that. The whole world isn't going to know that just because you learned it yesterday. You found something interesting in the Bible? Good. Well, meet it out in a way that helps people. Not in a way that accuses and hurts people. Edify, help. Help folks with the information you get. It's just mercy and truth. Mercy and truth. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart, so shalt thou find favor, good understanding in the sight of God and man. Father, thank you so much for these words and this time together. Thank you for loving us and taking care of us the way you do. Help us apply these things. I know we're so off balanced. If we're maybe overbalanced on the truth side, or at least think we are, or overbalanced on the mercy side, or at least think we're being merciful. But these two dispositions, they go hand in hand. They work together. And I pray you'd help us apply them in our lives to others. And thank you for these words. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.